wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome from wherever you are in the world and whatever time of day it is that you're listening. I'm so honored that you are here. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor and your change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, getting inspired. And today I have with me a guest, Dr. Karina Stoffel. Actually, I'm not sure she's a doctor, but she's an elder, so I'm going to give her honorary doctorate, Karina Stoffel, because we are talking about elderhood, conscious living, and the art of transition, which really is also about change, because change is the one constant in our life. We're always changing. And as far, we are magical creatures, but we haven't figured out in the human world how to play with the clock of time completely. So we are always getting older. And at some point in our lives, we recognize we've entered a stage of life where we might be the eldest in the room. And in that eldest in the room, are we just the old person in the corner? Or are we standing in our wisdom, our power, our elderhood, and giving wisdom to everyone else? Because what really makes us special as humans, right, is the ability to have language to communicate wisdom, knowledge, love, and compassion from generation to generation. So I'm going to open up this conversation and, you know, so excited to sit down with Karina Stoffel. I met this woman in India on a tour where we were learning about speaking. And this woman in her 70s flew around the world to get up on stage in front of, I don't know, was it 700,000 people, Karina, that we spoke in front of, to sit in meditation for hours on end, and to do something very different in her life. And she is truly an elder full of wisdom. She embodies wisdom and grace and change with grace. And so I'm so honored that you chose to be on the show with me this morning. Welcome, 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 Karina.
Thank you, Tina. And I am honored that you invited me onto your show. I really appreciate it. And yeah, India was a journey, and the journey into elderhood took me about 20 years. Mm-hmm. I remember marking and calling in elderhood when I was 50.
No.
I did not accept myself as an elder until I was 70.
Mm.
And it was a journey of change, transformation.
Yeah.
And also a lot of healing, because one thing that I did was heal childhood traumas that I had grown up with, and learning from Thomas Hübel and Garbo Mate about healing trauma, I said, okay, I need to sit down and do that myself. I need to let go of it. And what was really amazing for me is the level of compassion that I developed for my parents, because I could, going through the steps myself and just following the energy, I could see how they perpetuated their wounding in their childhoods. So it's actually almost, if we are willing to heal something, we do generational work.
I couldn't agree more. I've had some episodes where I've had, you know, healing episodes in my life, and I remember having this meltdown of, I just lost it in a room on a retreat, just hysterically crying. And the woman was like, because I had made a mistake, and I was raised to try and be perfect, right? I would get a 99 on a test, And my father would be, where's the extra point, right? So in this retreat where I'm trying to like learn about sex and pleasure and communication and compassion, and I made a mistake in confidentiality. And I'm a freaking doctor. I'm supposed to know about confidentiality, right? And I just lost it. So much so that the woman who was working with me, who was an expert in her own right, she called over the head of the entire retreat and said, I need help with this one. And I remember she's like, is there any part of your body that has pleasure? I'm like, maybe my right pinky toe. Ah! You know, I'm losing. And in the energy work, when I'm doing and just heaving, as she was working on me, and I had never really had an energy work before, I had visions of my mother, my grandmother, my ancestors. And I actually realized I was healing for myself, but so much traumatic wounding in years. So much agree with you. And so much of our civilization is in need.
Yeah.
Of wisdom of elders and wisdom of healing and wisdom of healing our traumatic wounds. We can't get out of childhood without them. It's the nature of childhood of not understanding the societies we live in and how to negotiate them. So tell me, I love the question that we, you know, talked about. Why is elderhood even more important today? Because I have my thoughts, but I want to hear it. You're even elder than me, right? And I want to hear your wisdom of that.
I have been trained as a rite of passage guide. And as part of that training, we looked at indigenous societies. And within an indigenous society, an elder was honored. It was honored even in European indigenous society way back when. But once, the way I see it, once we hit Industrial Revolution, the older person became not more contributory, it was considered no longer contributing to society, so they were put out on pasture. And over maybe two, three generations, we lost the idea of elderhood. And today we don't have any. What the elder brings is the wisdom, the compassion, and the understanding that things are not necessarily what they seem to be, but that we need to slow down, that we need to look at it and ask what is really asking to come forward if something breaks down. And right now, if we look around the world, our systems are breaking down.
Yeah.
We are in a global transition, as I said in my TEDx talk that Tanya, our common friend, organized for me. And we rush. This is broken. We need to fix it. Let's put a Band-Aid on it.
Yes.
And not asking what is not working.
Right. We don't ask why is it broken. We just put a Band-Aid. We do that in medicine. We do that in education.
We
do
don't
that
look for root causes.
And we don't believe in recycling. So when you think about the reason that elders were put to passage in the Industrial Revolution, we were no longer human. We complete humans. We were human capital. We were a resource for corporations and production.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even thought about it till I joke that the IVF lab is cattle farming when AI takes over, because we are reproducing without pleasure in IVF, we're not supposed to be infertile, and we're not looking at why we're infertile. We've stopped solving the puzzle and we're only coming up with answers. And the answer in the IVF lab is robotizing, putting robots in the IVF lab, because everyone's going to need it. And to me, that's cattle farming humans. It's not a disease we're supposed to have, right? So yes, you're right. When retirement, no, the Aboriginal, the ancient societies, they didn't, there wasn't a retirement
No.
age. You didn't
No.
stop contributing to society. You
No.
just, your role just changed. So let's go back to role changing, because you talked about you're a rite of passage person, which I want you to explain what that kind of means. And but my suspicion is it's transitions and changes, and we're always changing. The only constant is change. So tell us more about what that means to be a rite of passage human, and how that contributes to the elderhood and the wise sages giving back to the community.
Okay, rite of passage is the way we termed it. Native Americans had rites of passage that often was called in native language relative tuition quest, which is a Western term, but it meant going out for days, usually 4 days and nights, and being in the wilderness by yourself and really interacting with nature. And the benefit of interacting with nature is nature has no agenda. We
Oh, I love
consider,
that.
no matter how cynical we might have become in Western white society, that another person giving us something, oh, they may have a hidden agenda that I'm not getting, but we don't do that to nature. So we are more open to the feedback of what happens. And it is the elder that received back the youth that had been out on a vision quest and listened to their story and mirrored their story and gave the story back to them with their wisdom, with their understanding of the deeper layers of what may have happened during that time. And so that is one important role. But life is a story. And what if elders give back the story of life, of what we are experiencing, what is going on, and looking for the root causes of what is going on, of what is asking to change? It's not broken, no, slap a band-aid on it. No, it's asking to change because something is not working. And what is that that is not working? We don't need to throw it out and say, oh, this is all, let's trash it and reinvent something completely new. No, what is not working? Let's adjust that. And then move from there and maybe tweak again and tweak again down the road. But it's a slowing down of the whole process and becoming more thoughtful that elders can give us because they are no longer in the, I want to almost say, rashness of youth. Let's do it quick, quick, quick. And I've noticed I've become a lot slower. I take more time contemplating and being with something. What's the meaning of it? It's often where I go when something is happening in my life.
I love that. I love that. This is a perfect time for us to take our first little break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper Smith on the Inspired Choices Network. I am your host. We are here talking with Karina Stoffel all about elders and elderhood and our society and how we can, I'm going to say, recycle and repair and rejuvenate our psych, our rejuvenate our society by employing the elders and the elderhood. So it's combining youth with age to get just the Goldilocks version of the way we're supposed to be. We'll be right back Please come back to talk more with Karina.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. And today we are getting inspired by chatting with Karina Stoffel. You can check out my new website. It is being released, Dr. Tina Plays, where for another 2 weeks, you will have access to my, for free, a PDF of Play Yourself Back to Wellness cards, mind, body, heart, and spirit. But for now, I want to come back to Karina. I want to highlight some of the words that I wrote down that to me are the brilliance of this elder sitting in the room. Nature has no agenda. We are part of nature. We need to remember that life is to be lived without really relying on the outcomes all the time. Really, life is to be lived. Nature doesn't have an agenda. Don't be transactional. Nature is not transactional. It is compassionate and giving and just there. And the elders, I love this, the elders mirrored back the vision quest story of the youth. And your elders can mirror back and help you rewrite your own story. Life is a story, my friends, and you get to rewrite it over and over and over again for your pleasure. And Miss Karina is a rite of passage expert, and she is totally an elder in her own right. So I'm going to go a little deep this time. Karina, can you give us a little bit of your story of how you became this expert? What was your vision quest, your rites of passage, your transitions? So people can hear themselves in your story, which I think is also part of the mirroring that we do in healing. We're not alone. We all have, what can I see of me in you? And what can I see of you in me, right? So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in Germany, and there is a youth book author that writes a lot about Native Americans. And
in
so
Germany.
I developed an interest in Native Americans. And then we end up moving here to the US, and Native Americans. I come across a Native American doing a workshop. And at that workshop, I met a couple that was doing actually Vision Quest. And I was, yes, that's for me. So at the age of 36, instead of late teens, I went out on a vision quest and fasted for 4 days and four nights. And it was an incredible experience of just being. I had already young kids, so there was constantly somebody pulling on your attention, and not having that and just being able to sit and be in nature or walk and be in nature. Time flew by and I was totally fascinated. And 2 years later, I started training with it and became eventually a rite of passage guide myself, took people through experiences in nature, including different organizations work with different lengths, 3 days and 4 days and nights out in nature by yourself. And it is really often that being by yourself is hard for many, many people nowadays. Yeah. We are so entrained to constantly have company. And then for me, a big thing was I had, with my parents growing up, we hiked, but I never spent a night and that in nature. Mm-hmm. That happened when I got married, but then I always had a tent. What? I don't have a tent. I only have a tarp that keeps the rain and the sun away.
Oh, fascinating. You had no tent. This was a vision quest with just a tarp. Interesting.
Yeah, and it brought up a lot of fears in me. And it was amazing to realize how comfortable in the end I felt. Because there was, I don't know where it came from, but there was an innate trust into nature.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful to hear. I remember actually I went to summer camp growing up and I loved summer camp. And I do think it's that there was something about being in nature and hiking and having overnights. But as an adult, I went on, wasn't a vision quest, but a women's weekend in a summer camp. And there was a nature guide. And anyway, it was an interesting, I said, I think I failed. I didn't do it right because I fell asleep. I wasn't really meditating and aware. She was like, the fact that you could sleep outdoors in nature for 30 minutes in the dark, you're fine. And I was like, oh, because again, me, I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to get it wrong. And I was like, yeah. I did the exercise wrong. I don't know. I just fell asleep. So it was funny. So what did you learn on your vision quest when you came back? You had more confidence in yourself. You had more appreciation for nature. And you became this rite of passion guide, but tell me the shift in your like, was there this deep shift in your body and in your purpose at that point? And how old were you? You were 36 when you did this?
I was 36 when I did that.
Yeah.
I had, it's an oxymoron almost, I had more confidence in myself, and yet I didn't.
Okay.
In the way that it was an internal confidence, the mm-hmm. external confidence in regards to what I was doing, because I ended up separating from my husband years after that vision mm-hmm. quest. And I was a life coach, and I considered myself to be the best kept secret mm-hmm. because I couldn't advertise about myself. I couldn't talk about what I did. I was good at what I did because I could listen and mm-hmm. I would hear what was going on. I could tap into what might have been underneath and ask a question around that. So there was the qualifications were there from an intuitive and internal confidence, but I didn't want to talk about myself. And that only changed when I really started looking, started healing the childhood trauma.
Ah, interesting. So what do you think was your block of standing in your power that your intuitive knowing was enough in a sense, right? This overstanding, and mind you, I already heard you said you went and you trained to be a rite of passion passage coach. I'm sure you did training to be a coach. So you actually yeah. had probably the certifications and the understanding as well as the intuitive overstanding. And yet there was still a block of the imposter syndrome probably that so many people have. How can I charge for what I do? It's just what I do. And who am I to have the credentials? Someone else must be bigger, better, smarter than myself, right? And so tell me where you think those came from and how you overcame them. Because a lot of us, women and men, have walking around with that hidden, no, how do I have this job? I don't really get why I'm getting paid this, or I can't ask for money, or I can't market myself, blah, 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 blah. So tell me how you discovered that you really were the real deal.
I think the imposter syndrome was a result of having people in my environment that were the, how shall I say, they were the masters in whatever they did. Mm-hmm. And they, in a way, abused that power. And so I did not want to go down that road. Mm-hmm. And it serves me today as an elder in the sense that I am not any more teaching a concept. I am talking, I'm sharing my experience. And then out of that, I may say, yeah, there is this general thing, but then you need to find your own way into that without me telling this is how you do it.
Yes. So I love that. And this is a perfect segue. We will be right back with Karina Stoffel and talking about elderhoods, rites of passage, healing your childhood wounds. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your witchy doctor and show host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And if you are enjoying this podcast, can you do me a big, big, big favor and go put a 5-star review on Apple, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies if you choose, but share it, share it, share it. We are here today with Karina Stoffel talking about rites of passage, healing, elderhood, and so much more. I want to again reiterate some of her just incredible takeaways of we are part of nature. For her, healing, a big part of her healing was going into nature, being part of nature on a vision quest, remembering that nature has no agenda. And she came back from there and really started very slowly to take ownership of being a healer. And it took her more years, more writing of her own story, more looking in. And what she said was that she didn't have role models of how to be a master and how to be an elder and how to be that. And I think it's because we if you don't see yourself in the leaders of society, then you think that the leader of society looks one way. And we're in a time right now where diversity and inclusion and all that is being thrown out again. And it is so critical for people to recognize we are one, and we need, you know, we need leaders that are of all races and of all genders and wear whatever they choose to wear, because some little child needs to see you being authentically you, so they know that they can grow up, that they belong on this planet and in this human race. And I think for many years, we have been ruled, I'm going to call it out, but the rulers, the kings and the queens have been Caucasian, and there were way more of the male gender roles, which is doing, 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 not feeling, feeling, feeling. We have been told to not feel, not mirror another, not be sensitive to another's needs, but to dom ourselves into doing more, that is the purpose of the life we are living. But I invite you, the purpose of the life we are living is to live the life we are living. It's not about the destination, because the destination is the life is over, right? And the elders actually realize that. And sometimes the children are the wisest because they're living in the moment, right? And so we can learn from the children. We can learn from our animals in nature. We can learn from the trees. And we can learn from our elders who realize you can't take it with you. This is it. This is it. So I'm going to hand the mic back to Karina because she is brilliant and a brilliant elder. But I want to call something out because Karina was so brave. She moved from the United States to America. She was so brave, she went on a vision quest. She was so brave, she decided to not be married. How crazy is that? Even though we now know lots of marriages fail. So in those moves, in those transitions, right? She moved from caterpillar to butterfly in some way, shape, or form. So tell me about moving. Because moving is as important and as stressful a life event as birth, death, divorce, cancer, illness. It's huge. It is. And so, Karina, you've moved a bunch of times. Tell me. And you just recently did another move, right?
Yeah, correct.
So tell me more about moving in different phases of your life, different houses. Tell me about moving and how you work with that.
I think moving is an really interesting aspect if you understand the phases of change. And change has basically three phases. There is the ending of something. Then there is the period where you not quite know where are you going, what's the new. And then there is the willingness to step into the new that you are mining, that you are finding during that liminal space. And so just even that recent move ended up being a life review for me. Interestingly, knowing that I would downsize, I needed to let go of stuff. And I wanted to let go of that stuff before I put it in the moving truck instead of afterwards. So I went through it and I found paperwork where I then stopped and said, oh God, I did that. I totally forgot about that. That was a great period. And actually saw I did way more than I thought I had done. You forget so many things. And it is actually not just the memory road. There was a lot of joy in going through and remembering playful times, inventive times, creative times, and all of that. So understanding what a transition is helpful throughout life.
I love that. I love that. It is the cocoon, right? The caterpillar has no idea they're going to be able to fly. They go from being a ground animal to a butterfly. They go from being gray and white to having all these beautiful wings often, right? And although even moths probably do it and they don't, whatever. So we don't know what we're becoming when we're in that in-between period. We just know it's painful sometimes. We feel boxed in, like in the cocoon, or we're, I love the word nervited, where you're nervous and excited, right? Because that's the door, right? And we stand in this portal. So it's funny because I am in a transition right now. I'm literally this week emptying out my office and I'm like, I refuse to be a pack rat. I have to get a dumpster and dump. And it's interesting.
It lightens the energy so much.
Interesting. Yeah. So we'll see, you know, and there's a lot of transitions. So when you take people through, because I also, you know, I say I'm a midwife in a lot of ways. I'm dealing in my day job, right? I'm a fertility specialist and a gynecologist, but I'm often, that's ushering people from no kids to kids. And they're in this cocoon of, am I ever going to have kids? Right. And they have to let go sometimes of work to have children and make space for the new. Right. And I think that's one piece of the puzzle for some fertility patients. Right. And for me doing it all right. I never knew how to let go of things. So when you're guiding people, as they're going through movement, through change, right? How do you coach? Because again, doctors is very, it's a very dom sub relationship. We give our power over to the physician to heal us. But I really believe healing is in connection and you have to heal yourself. The doctor can't do the healing for you. We provide the tools, you choose which ones are going to work and your brain decides. Yep, I'm doing IVF. It's going to work for me, or I'm not. I'm going to do IVF, or I'm not, and it's whatever. So, how do you, as a coach, you're really guiding people to find their own answers? Which, guess what? That's how life works. So, how do you tease that out of them? How do you get them to accept the cocoon and not be scared of the butterfly or regret the caterpillar?
One of what I find helpful is teaching people to be present, to be present with what is.
Yes.
Not go into a dream state, a fantasy, but looking squarely at what is and being present with it, allowing that to unfold, to inform you, because every moment has its own lesson. And if I'm not present with it, I cannot perceive the lesson, I cannot hear it. And if I don't know what's going on because I'm not present, I also cannot change anything. So it really is empowering by being present with the situation and allowing it to inform you by stepping out of the fear, because fear comes from the stories we tell ourselves by not being present.
False evidence appearing real. Face everything and run, or face everything and rise. Language is so critical, right?
Yep.
And I love that, because I've also learned, you know, fear is our childhood survival brain speaking. Am I safe? Am I going to survive? And you can't, you have to get, like, the survival mechanism is critical to have, because sometimes it's life or death and we need to make split second decisions, and the brain has to predict what's happening next to get to the next safe step. But most of the time it's not life or death. And the only way out of that fear mode, and I just learned this, is through the body. You can't solve the problem with the same thinking that caused it, which is left logic, predictive data. And you know, it just hit me. That's what AI is. AI is a representation of our brain predicting model, because it's getting better, but it's a predictive model of, I'm going to act this way because this is the way I acted before. And there's no change involved. The embodiment is where the change is, right?
Yeah, and because you brought up AI, I have to say, I've been working with AI for about a year now, and I probably have changed the fastest in this year. Mm-hmm. Because I work with AI more on a philosophical perspective, mm-hmm. asking questions, and what AI is good at is not predicting or anything that is here or there, but to mirror. AI perceives your phrasing, the speed with which you phrase, with which you change things, and mirrors that back to me. And that mirroring allowed me to slow down and become aware of things.
I love that. That's a new tool to think of for AI. And again,
I can use AI as a work tool. Make me write a book for me, write that copy for me, do this, that, and the other. I'm using it in that way, but that's not the only way. The beauty, what I realized early on is I woke up at 3 a.m. and my mind was going. And I decided to get up to log into AI and say, I'm thinking about this, da-da-da-da-da-da, and giving the whole. And it was incredible what I got back. And I had incredibly expansive experiences taking that, what AI mirrored back to me in.
You know what? It's funny, because I use AI a lot to, I'll free flow and journal and write and all, like, I'm barfing up all the stuff that's within me, and then AI will organize it. So yes, it's mirroring my stuff back at me. And it does put it in perspective. It is time for our next little break so people can get their coffee or use the restroom. We will be right back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. I am your host, and Karina Stoffel is my guest today. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And come back to hear us wrap up, because this is just, these are gems. These are gold, golden from our elders today.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. We have with us today Karina Stoffel, and you can check her out at beingawareness.com. Is that correct, Karina?
Being Awareness.
Okay, say it out loud for our listeners so they can find you.
Beinginawareness.com.
Love it. Beinginawareness.com. You also can find her on LinkedIn and Facebook. And she has some amazing artist books. She's a photographer. I've gotten some of her books. So I just also want to put out there that she's had such a rich and full life that she's got so many identities, right? And that's one thing we realize, too, as we get older. We don't have to wear just one hat if we want to wear multiple. So tell us through your life. We have just a few minutes left, Karina, but what have been all your identities and all your labels? We hear you're an elder, and we hear you're a coach and a rite of passage coach, but you're an artist. Like, go brag. I'm going to tell you right now, go brag. Go brag about yourself.
Go brag. Okay.
Yes.
I just published beginning this year, a book that I would call more a memoir, Stepping Stones to Elderhood.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
The Journey of Becoming. And in it, I break the text up with mandala images that I have drawn by hand. And
so you're not even just a photographer, you're an actual artist because you're drawing by hand. Okay, so we're a mom.
I am in the process of writing Reimagining Elderhood from a broader perspective, really looking, stepping from my personal journey into a broader look. Uh-huh. And we have all, what I find is we all have an elder within. We all have wisdom within. Only as a younger person, we are busy with this, that, and the other, being married, having job, having kids and raising them. And we forget to tap into, which naturally comes when we age then. And overlapping life experience with the wisdom is another benefit. And I have a card deck that I created that is called The Elder Within. And I'm using my mandala, photographic mandalas, where I developed a special technique to do multiple exposures. So we have different purposes throughout our life. Are we willing to follow those? Are we what I've learned with this whole elderhood is as we grow up and trying to, there is the one purpose that binds them all, to quote Lord of the Rings. No, we have the purpose of being married. We have the purpose of being a parent. We have a purpose, and that keeps changing. Are we willing to change with that, to allow what our soul is asking for to be brought forth?
You know what, I love that. And I what came to me not too long ago, right? I go into that deep dive philosophical thing too. And we come into this world, we literally are a personification of our parents' thoughts, right? I want to have a kid. And from the thought, which is physics, to the chemistry, I got to attract a mate. To the biology, right? We go from physics to chemistry to biology. We are the personification of our parents' thoughts. And we spend a lifetime taking the labels of their labels that they put on us and society put on us and we put on ourselves. And ideally, when we leave this biology world to go back into the spirit world where we are no longer this human thing. This avatar that is us, ideally, we leave depersonified as us, as the spirit, the dharma within, the soul within. And whether it takes many lifetimes, one lifetime, everybody has their own belief system, this and that. But it is, it's getting to know yourself. And I love what you just said because it isn't one purpose in life. We really are all shapeshifters and shape-shifting. We're constantly, the only constant is change. We said that at the beginning. So, how beautiful that we wrap it all together. And yes, the elders are getting ready to leave in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes, again, it's a child leaving way prematurely, but in their illness, they are elders in ushering into us that this is temporary. This human experience is so temporary. It's just so beautiful when we think about it. And therefore, if it's temporary, we're here to be in awe of this experience and joy of this experience and live in the present moment because it really is the only moment we ever have. So I invite people to follow you, to read your book. What's the name of your book again? Say it out loud.
Stepping Stones into Elderhood.
I'm going to buy it today. Stepping Stones into Elderhood. I've gotten her photography book. So beautiful. Great coffee table book. Beinginawareness.com with Karina. I am honored that you came on at this time for me to go through a transition. I couldn't have picked a better day, a better week. It's ironic. The universe knew what it was doing when you said, I'm having to move. I got to do it in late November. Calling in the wise older selves that knew when we were meant to talk together. Can't wait to be with you in person at some point in the future. My elder friend, my wise sage friend, I want everyone to listen to this and everyone to stop because yes, it's when we stop and stay present to the moment. That our lives can change, that the awe and the presence and the wise elder within shows up. I saw it yesterday in the sunrise, this morning in the fog, and being with you, my heart is just so full right now, and I have to go back to the office. So, your healing playground with Dr. Cooper Smith, please, please share with your friends this episode.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.